We welcome you back on our second lesson on all authority out of Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. We begin reading with verse number 11 and let you see and understand that Jesus knew that the scribes and Pharisees, even the high priests themselves, had bribed the Roman soldiers to do away with the very heart of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his resurrection. If there be no resurrection, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, our faith is in vain. If there be no resurrection, our preaching is in vain. If Christ did not raise from the dead, dear soul, we have no salvation. So this is what the devil was doing, and Jesus let us understand and see that he knew that those things were going on in those verses beginning with verse 11 of Matthew 28, and yet he tells us, I'm in sovereign control. All authority, all of power is given me in heaven and in earth. I'm co-equal with God. And if you're looking around and seeing all the destruction and the devastation and the cruelty and the lying and the vulgarities that's going on in America, and it's affecting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand God understands and knows that. In fact, he's ahead of you. Let me read you some verses in the book of Jude. Yeah, the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, so it's just Jude verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, I was just going to write about how you need to be born again. He said, instead it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Listen at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, listen, who were of old ordained to this condemnation. Dear soul, God knows about this before you do. He understands that there are men that are going to do these kinds of things, and they were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, that is, a license to sin, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They were of old ordained to this condemnation. So they got to have the opportunity to act it out so that the condemnation can be brought upon them. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now listen at verse number 8 of 1 Peter 2, 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You've got to be patient and know that God is long-suffering. He is enduring with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction. They were of old ordained to this condemnation. God knows this. He set it forth. He's been knowing about it as long as God has been God. Then in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 3, and through covetousness shall they with molded words, with cunningly false words, make merchandise of you. Listen, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Don't be dismayed, dear soul. God is still sovereign. And whatever you do, believe in the present reign of Jesus Christ. Read Hebrews 1:3 and understand when did he start reigning? When he had by himself purged our sins. At Calvary, he said, it is finished. All of this is done with. Now I'm going to go to the Father and be exalted. That's when he started reigning. So don't let anybody fool you. Don't let the devil give you the reasoning and the conclusion that since all of this mess is going on in our world, that God is not in control and God doesn't see it. I don't need to go to God and read him the newspaper. He already knows it. They were of old ordained to this condemnation. You just need to be patient and let God act out that which he has determined long before you ever existed, so that he might justly bring them into the damnation that is equivalent to that which they have committed. Their sin will cause them to be brought into that damnation. So the Lord is in absolute sovereign control. Now all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Go with me now to the last chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and the last two verses. I want to begin to show you people that God put in charge at different times and in different places, and even had a great effect upon his own people in those days and ages that were not good people. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, he's not an Israelite, not born again, doesn't know God, not raised up under the prophets. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoke by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. Jeremiah prophesied this. God gave it to him to prophesy, and he raised Cyrus up to bring it to pass. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, said it the second time, want you to know that this is a blasphemous heathen. He is not an Israelite. He is a heathen. King of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, that's the third time he said it, all the kingdoms of the earth all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. Sounds like Cyrus knew the Lord. All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Wow. Sounds like Cyrus knew the Lord. Knew something about the Lord. Said he did. But did you hear what was said in verse 22? These are the words spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet, and they should be accomplished. So we see that all authority is given Jesus in heaven and in earth, but he gives this authority at that particular time for Cyrus to accomplish his will. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to read some more about Cyrus. Isaiah 45, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Well, Brother Bree, that means he was born again. Wait a minute. Seems like it, doesn't it? Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. Why did God anoint him? Why did he hold his hand? To bring all these nations in under his authority. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaven gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, Cyrus, in other words, and make the crooked places straight, and on and on and on. All right, drop on down to verse 4, Isaiah 45 and verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. What did we read this in the early lesson, the earlier lesson, all authority number one, about Pharaoh? For this cause have I raised thee up, that my name might be made known throughout all the earth. He didn't raise Pharaoh up for Pharaoh's salvation. He raised him up that God's name might be known. This is what God is saying about Cyrus in Isaiah 45 and verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and for Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, hold on to your chair, though thou hast not known me. What? He was God's anointed, yes. He was God's servant, yes. He was fulfilling the word of Jeremiah, yes. But he didn't know the Lord. Okay? I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not named, known me. Verse number 5 of Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That's twice the Lord has said that Cyrus didn't know God from third base. But he mentioned the Lord God, yes. And people pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, and they say, in God we trust, and they say the Lord's Prayer and all that stuff. And listen, America is not a Christian nation, no more than Cyrus was a born-again child of God. We say all these things, and we celebrate the Christ Mass, Christmas, but it doesn't have a thing in the world to do with the person of the Lord Jesus and the Incarnation. It has more to do with the sales going on at Walmart than it does anything to do with the person of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ has all authority, and he gives it to whomsoever he will for his people's sake. He just said, I raise thee up for mine anointed, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. I have even called thee by thy name, though thou hast not known me. So twice God said that Cyrus didn't know him, but God gave him authority. All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. What do you do with that authority? I give it out to whom I will for the good of God's people and the glory of God. Skip on over to John chapter 19. The book of John, chapter number 19. And here Jesus Christ himself, who has all authority in heaven and in earth, is standing before Pilate. Now, it doesn't matter whether literal Jesus was standing before a literal Roman counselor, a Roman governor, I get it out, or not. Literal Jesus didn't stand before literal Pharaoh, and he didn't stand before literal Cyrus. But it was God showing his authority and power and bringing it forth for his own glory. But this is true no matter whether there was the incarnate Christ standing before Pilate or not. Here is what the Lord Jesus says about God dealing with these people that he raised up in his own power and authority and giving them authority at that particular time. It says, John 19, verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid. And verse 9, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer, wouldn't talk to him. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power? Wait a minute. Here is a governmental person saying, I have power. Now listen what Jesus says to that. Know thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee. You got to understand this. If you are going to get through the ungodliness that's going on in this last day, and more to come, it's going to get worse, folks. If you're going to be able to stand true and endure to the end, you need to hear this, and you need to hear it not just with your ears, but with your heart. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Cyrus is mine anointed. Cyrus is my servant. Cyrus says, the Lord God of heaven says I'm to build this temple and I want y'all to go do it. Sounds like he knew God. He didn't. Two times in Isaiah 45, verse 4, and Isaiah 45, and verse 5, it said, God said through the prophet Isaiah, he don't know me. What does this mean? It means that God gave him authority at that particular time to be able to carry out these things so that God's will might be done. God wanted his house built. He gave Jeremiah the prophecy to say that his house was going to be built. But then he has Cyrus's mama to have a boy baby. She couldn't have had a miscarriage. And he made it to the throne. And somehow or another, God moved upon him in such a way as to give him a desire to build this temple in a foreign land to this God that he did not know. That's absolute sovereignty, folks. That's Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in a way that it doesn't look like. Why are we going back to Israel? Going back to build the temple. That's great. Who is it that's given us the permission to do this? Cyrus. Cyrus? Are you kidding? That heathen king? Dear soul, that is exactly right. He was a heathen king. So was Pharaoh. For this cause have I raised thee up, that my name may be declared throughout the whole earth. You got to understand, in Pilate's case, in Pharaoh's case, and in Cyrus's case, though they did not know me, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will, I'll harden. You need to be brought back to God. Dear soul, it's not the circumstances that you see that give you the understanding of whether you can believe that Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord, and is he in sovereign control. Well, if we have any more of these shootings in America, I'm just going to quit on God. Well, then you don't believe in him to start with. These things were before ordained. Men crept in before ordained. They were predestinated to this damnation. Leave it alone. Stay out of it. Your responsibility is to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in him. And don't let what the newspapers say or the television news broadcasters say have any effect upon how you stand with the Lord Jesus. He is having his will. Cyrus didn't know him, but God made him build the temple in Israel. Though thou hast not known me twice. Pharaoh. Here I am talking about Pharaoh in the year 2022, and I don't even know who Pharaoh was, but I'm talking about him. In fact, I'm standing in the holy pulpit of God, preaching the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, speaking about Pharaoh, and it was because God said, I raised him up that my name might be declared throughout the whole earth, and here I am still declaring it. Who do you think's in control? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority is given me. How much authority does that leave out? None. So he dishes it out, as it were, to Cyrus, to Pharaoh, and he tells Pilate, you couldn't have any authority over me unless God gave it to you. Let me read you that verse again. John 19:11. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Those who are sinning and sinfully carrying out the purposes and will of God have the greater sin, not you who are executing this thing. You will have your damnation, but theirs is going to be greater. It says, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out the louder, saying, If thou let him this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So they had the winning argument, but it was because the authority of Jesus Christ, his all supreme authority, total authority at this time, loaned as it were to Pilate, brought about God's purpose and God's will. Can you possibly imagine how devastated the apostles were when Jesus Christ was crucified? They had given him their life. They had given him their homes. They had said, "This is Messiah," and now he's dead. How can God die? I don't know. Read the argument of the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. "We thought this was going to be the Messiah. Man, are we let down? This is the third day. He's supposed to rise on the third day, and here we are without him." You have to make sure, dear soul, I wish you would listen to me. Don't let the newspaper, don't let the television news broadcasters, don't let what goes on in your life that is hard to bear and is difficult and is negative turn you away from the absolute assurance that Jesus Christ is having his will and way, and it will work out according to God's purpose. And if you'll wait on the Lord, if you'll wait on the Lord, in your patience possess you your souls. God with much long-suffering is enduring them. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known? Endured with much long-suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Can there be a single sinner that spits in God's face and don't believe in God that doesn't go to hell? No. Then why do you think that all of this that's going on is going to be excused and they're going to get by with it? Nobody's going to get by with anything. Not you and not me, not anybody else. Sin will be accounted for. If you don't believe God will have sin accounted for, look what he did to his son yonder on Calvary's hill. God despises sin so much that he turned his back on his own son. And he was wounded for our transgressions. Dear soul, nobody's going to get away with anything. I don't care how cunning they are in their resistance to the things of God. God is wise and he's working out his will. Cyrus didn't know it. These men in our world today, they don't know it. They're saying, "Oh, I'm running this show. They're not going to do anything except I let them do it." They may have that power and that authority, but it's loan them thou could ask no power against me at all except it were given thee from above. That's God tricking them. That's God giving them the opportunity to have enough rope to hang themselves. Do not give up on Jesus Christ. He is very God. He is very Lord. He is ruling and reigning. He is in absolute control. Nobody can stop him. It may look bad, but it ain't over yet. Listen. Then I want you to notice that the church also, no matter what happens, the church's authority is in Jesus Christ. I brought out this word in years gone by, but I want to bring it out again in Matthew 28 and verse number 19. The church's authority is from Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 18, "All power is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye," and here's the word, "therefore." Have you quit going because of the strengthening of the awareness of the absolute sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ? And when I say going, I ain't talking about soul winning. I'm talking about encouragement, faith, belief, hope, endurance, perseverance, long-suffering, a proper attitude, looking upon those things that are of lovely and of good report. Think on these things. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Then you've lost sight of the absolute sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore. Everything you do in the Christian walk, should be done with an awareness of the absolute sovereignty and the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the way that it is. So the church has a responsibility to go ye therefore. What is it therefore? Because of my power, which is absolute. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. So I'm sending you, and you are to remain aware of the sovereignty of Almighty God. Don't give up. Don't whine. Don't sit down. Don't complain. Whether you can feel it or sense it or not, Jesus Christ is every day of your life in sovereign control, and his will is being done. Now, in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things, watch it now, whatsoever I have commanded you. So I'm supposed to be accomplishing the will of God and obeying the will of God, or I'm not to be teaching them. Dear soul, one of the things that has destroyed the belief and faith of our youth is parents who say and do not. Take them to church, take them to Sunday school, and then live like the devil. It is an abomination to God. He said the thing that's going to cause the gospel to have its power to go from faith to faith is that the one that's teaching it is doing what I told him to do. Look at Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Uh-oh. We got hypocrites in the pulpit. What are we to do? Listen. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. Well, we got this preacher we really like. Boy, he really preaches some red hot sermons. But you know, we got acquainted with him personally, and we like the way that he's very liberal and very loose in his life. And he's not requiring us to toe the line like some of these other preachers used to. And we kind of like him. Just so you better be careful. God said, you do what he says, but don't you do after his works. For one of the things that the devil raises up to be able to destroy the fiber and the strength of the Christian faith is people who say, but don't do it. They don't live what they preach. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing. For they say and do not. Go to Titus chapter number 1. The book of Titus, right before the book of Hebrews. Titus chapter 1. And verse 16. Let's read verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Their tongue speaks one thing, but their hands and feet go after other things. They don't practice what they say they believe. It's dangerous. That's what has brought down the integrity and the spirituality and the purity of the American church. That's why you have so much atheism in America, is because people are sick of people in church saying, you got to do this and you got to do that, and telling us what we got to do, but then they do what they want to do. They're sharp with their tongue, but they're slothful with their actions. And so we go on over, if you will, to the book of James. The book of James, Hebrews, and then James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you just hear Christianity but you don't do it, guess what will happen? You say, well, it don't matter. I'm not going to do it. It won't bother me none. Not so sure about that. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's what we have done. We talk morality, but we live immorally. And it has deceived our own selves. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If you say and do not, it will deceive your own heart. You don't need the devil. You don't need an apostate. You don't need a Judas among you. You got yourself. You don't intend to do it. You just intend to talk about it. Set it forth. Be like the man down at the temple. I'm glad I'm not like that old guy over there. I fast so many times a week, and I give my tithe, and then you go out and live like the devil. You're deceiving your own self. And if you bridle not your tongue, he says, your religion is in vain. That's how that it is. Dear soul, we have one that is the opposite of this. Her name was Rahab. And while we're here in, well, let's go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Joshua, chapter 2. Beginning with verse 3. Joshua had sent spies into Jericho to spy it out. The king's men got after him and were about to capture him. And there was a lady named Rahab. And every time you read Rahab in the Bible, the next two words are the harlot. So Rahab the harlot takes in the men of Israel and hides them up on her roof and hides them under some flax that she had drying out up there. Joshua 2:3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman had took the two men, and taken the two men, and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. I didn't know who they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, just before y'all shut the gates of the city, when it was dark, they ran out. Whither the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, and you shall overtake them. And she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them, the men of the city. They went tearing out after them, obeying Rahab's word, which was not true. And they pursued after them all the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Therefore, before they lay down under the flax that Rahab hid them in, she came up unto them upon the roof and said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now listen. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. She knew about that. Now, this was without texting, without a telephone, without an iPhone, without a computer, without the television, without a radio. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you have utterly destroyed. Listen, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by thy God, by thy Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She said, I know the Lord is with you. We've heard what happened, and it's come to us, and it's put fear in our hearts. And I want you to take care of me the way I've taken care of you. And they said, tell you what, when we come to take Jericho, and we will, you need to take a red scarlet rope and hang it down out of your window over the city wall, and we'll tell all of our men of war not to bombard right there where that red rope is hanging down, and we'll take care of your life if you will get everybody in your family into that house and tell them to stay in there and don't go out and wait till it's all over with, and then we'll come in and get you out. The absolute sovereignty of God. She did exactly what they said. And this woman, although she's known as Rahab the harlot, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 31, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 31, let's read verse 30, you want to? Hebrews 11, 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith Rahab the harlot. The absolute sovereignty of God. It raised up Cyrus, though thou hast not known me. Raised up Pharaoh, that his name may be known throughout the whole earth, though Pharaoh didn't know him. Pilate said, I can kill you and I can keep you alive. Jesus said, you ain't got no power on me at all, except it were given you from above. But then here comes the absolute sovereign power of Jesus Christ to Rahab the harlot. And it says that God opened up her heart. And it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. What an amazing phrase in Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab. And you know what happened with her? God's absolute sovereignty, God's absolute power and authority over that which she was and accomplishing that which he determined to do. These other wicked men were before ordained to this condemnation. But what if God, willing to show his mercy on the vessels of mercy, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? They were those that were ordained to condemnation, that God endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath. Pharaoh, Cyrus, Pilate, Satan himself, archangel turned into the devils. God's still putting up with him, but he's a defeated foe. But also the next verse in Romans 9, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. God showed mercy unto Rahab the harlot. And guess what we find in Matthew chapter number 1? In verse number 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab married Boaz's daddy. It says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Ruth married Boaz and she was a heathen. She was of Moab. And Obed begat Jesse. And guess who Jesse was? Jesse was Obed and Ruth's grandson. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. Rahab and Ruth, a harlot and a Moabitess, was under the absolute sovereignty of God. And God, as we read you in Romans chapter 9, he began to show the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Dear soul, you can believe this. You may not know it. You may not know them. You may not understand it. But God is saving whom he will in this ungodly age. Yes, he is making known his enduring, long-suffering, and patience with the vessels of wrath. But understand this, they are fitted to destruction. Of old are ordained to this condemnation. But at the same time, even though there was a harlot, God changed her. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you may not be able to say, well, I know so-and-so got saved. We use that term, don't we? During that awful situation, you may not ever know it. But understand this. Out of every people and kindred and nation and language, God will save some. Let me read you that verse. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and language and people and nation. Dear soul, don't you worry about it. You just believe that God is who he says he is. You just understand that although this verse is preceded by the account of Roman soldiers taking bribes given to them by the religious hierarchy, the high priest and the scribes and Pharisees of that day, and even the governor was in on it. Yes, there's a lot of ungodliness and bribery and horrible works of the devil going on in our nation today. But Jesus Christ has all authority and is working according to his purpose. He is causing them to be able to come to their required and predestined end. God will bring them to justice and judgment. Jesus Christ said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. This spake concerning his death. John chapter 12. Dear soul, let me encourage you. You say, well, there ain't much to encourage me in these days. I understand that. But God can, and God will, and he will bring it about. And listen, God don't fail. God's doing exactly what he wants to do. And you better understand and believe that wicked men are going to be judged and they're going to be brought to an end of their self, and God's elect people are going to be brought in for his glory. Thank you for your attention. Our dear brother Bobby Quick is going to come now and favor us with a song. You pray for him as he comes.
especially after hearing that message and the reality when it hits our lives. Thank you, brother.
Amen, brother.